Again to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I do want to take just a minute before we begin our lesson this morning to say to those of you who are in the group this morning here, and all who will view this on Facebook, that beginning the first Sunday of September, we're going to begin a new series on Sunday mornings. And I hope that you not only will be here for these, but you'll invite other people. Those of you who watch this will get other people to watch. I hope I just do the subject a little justice. I don't know exactly what to title this, but I believe it is time that we take a look at why it is that throughout the world today, religion is less and less important to more and more people. And I believe it is time we look at the greatest of all subjects. That subject is the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this subject, there will be things that many of you will rejoice to be reminded of. But I want you to know, as we begin, there will be some things in this that will challenge people's thinking. It may challenge things you believe, practices that we hold, that we may not be able to say that we have the authority of Christ. We're going to look at moral issues. We're going to look at worship. We're going to look at things that pertain to our everyday lives, like race relationships. Things that I hope will challenge all of us to ask ourselves the greatest question of all. Am I truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, with that said, I believe the chapter that we're looking at right now serves as a fit introduction into that study. As I said last Sunday morning, we're going from time to time be looking at great chapters in the Bible. John chapter 8 is truly a great chapter. It is a rather lengthy chapter, but it is filled with many deep thoughts for us to consider. By way of review, let me go back this morning to say that I have chosen the 36th verse of this chapter as the theme chapter or verse of this study. It is here that the Bible says, "If the Son make you free, then are you free indeed." When you think about that, isn't it a marvelous concept? Free. So much of our world today is about not being free. We take animals and we put them in fences, in cages. We often take humans and put them in confinement, in prisons, in jails. We often find ourselves enslaved in our own unhappiness and bitterness, anger. There is so much that we see that constrains. But this thought from Jesus carries the sweetest of all realizations. My greatest problem, that which keeps me from everything that is holy and good and sweet and wonderful and pleasant, is sin. sin has captured me and brought me into bondage to that old serpent, the devil. There is but one who can set us free. Many people today are looking to be free by accumulating more wealth, more power, more fame. But we cannot be free, and we cannot be free indeed unless we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We noticed in verse 12 that Jesus said that He was the light of life. And if that light is in us, then we can shine. Now, as we noticed our text, Jesus lays out in this chapter some thoughts about who needs to be free. It might be strange to some of us to realize that the first example Jesus uses of someone who needed freedom was a woman who was taken in the very act of immorality. Fornication, if you will. As we said last Sunday, when you think about it, isn't it a little strange? I wonder what it took for these people to catch these persons. There is no indication that she was out in public. It may have been that they had watched her for weeks, that they went to her house, that they spied through her door or through her windows, and they had caught her in the very act. And now they are rejoicing. Look at what we have done. We have caught a sinner. And so they bring the woman to Jesus. The Bible goes on to tell us their intent was to put Jesus to shame or to tempt Him. So they say, "Master, here is this woman. Here's what the law says. Moses said she ought to be stoned. What do you say?" You remember, we noticed that Jesus simply stooped down and wrote on the sand. And in a little bit, He looked up and He said, "Well, here's my answer. Whoever among you is without sin, you throw the first stone." Have you ever in your life been made ashamed? Have you ever seen someone and judged them harshly and said, "Well, let me tell you what's wrong with you. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong. Let me tell you what ought to happen to you." And suddenly, the light comes shining in. Jesus did not deny what the law said. He did not pronounce this woman innocent. He simply said, "You want to carry out this judgment? Make sure that what you do is right. That you come with clean hands." And then He stooped down to write in the sand again. And we notice that when He stood up, they were all gone. Beginning with the eldest, who had been convicted by their own conscience, they all began to go away. The world might be a better place today if all of us could be convicted by our own conscience. Not by what we see in others, not by what we judge in others, but what we see when we look into that mirror, the perfect law of liberty, and we see our life beside the will of Jesus. You remember then, He looked at the woman and He said, "Where are they?" And she said, "Master, they're all gone." I've often wondered why she hadn't run away, but I think I know. There is something when a person truly, absolutely comes in contact with Jesus that is like a huge magnet. It just sucks you in. It draws you. Truly, the Bible says about Jesus, no man ever spake like he did. And here is an example of it. Look at the wisdom that Jesus both never took one ounce away from the law, but he placed the responsibility for living upon each one of our own shoulders. And so he said, none of them condemn you, neither do I. Could he have left it there? Would the world have been happy if he had left it there? But Jesus said to her, go away. Do not do this anymore. You're free. You've been redeemed. You've been given a new chance. Now take advantage of it. If the Son make us free, Jesus said, begins with recognizing that moral sins rob us from a right relationship with God. And it is not just the moral sins like adultery or fornication, but the moral sin of self-righteousness. Now Jesus begins in verse 13 to further enlighten us about being free. The world despises Jesus. And Jesus said, if the world hates me, then it will hate you. Look at what they say here. They look at Jesus and they say, who do you think you are? You judge. But Jesus said, no, I judge no man. But if I judge, I judge truth. Later in this same chapter, we will read when Jesus will say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, Jesus had already shined the light upon this woman's sin. He let everybody see, I'm not denying she is guilty. But the truth is that I came to make her different. I came to bring hope. I came to shine as brightness in a dark world. And in order for me to shine in that dark world, I must judge that all sin must be made right. Not just sins like hers, but the sins of those who perceive themselves to be more righteous, more holy. Jesus goes on to say to them in this chapter, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. This we find in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and Deuteronomy chapter 19, where the law is talking about, we find someone and we bring them with a charge. And no one has seen what happened. No one can speak right or wrong of the event. Jesus says the law of Moses said that if this cannot be proven, if there is no one to testify to the rightness or the wrongness of this thing, then you cannot find somebody guilty simply because you want to, simply because you feel yourself to be superior in what you see or what you believe. So then the Bible says, and am I one that bear witness of myself? I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father sent me beareth witness of me. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. I am who I am. And I alone am not the one who have said this. The Father has said it. You know, do you realize how powerful it was when on two occasions heaven opened and the voice came down that said, this is my beloved Son. And in the other, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. God of heaven had testified that Jesus was the Christ. No greater testimony to the deity of Jesus and his sonship was ever born than a few days later when Jesus would die on that old rugged cross and the sun would be turned into darkness. The veil of the temple would be rent from top to bottom. The souls of the dead saints would get up and walk, signifying that Jesus had come to do the will of the Father. Then they said unto him, and don't miss this, as surely as those people who brought that woman to Jesus, if you really want to be free from sin, free from those things that entangle us, that cause us to be miserable and unhappy and bitter, to suffer with anxiety, if you want to be free and free indeed, then you must be willing to allow the Lord to shine his light on you. And ask yourself, what does he see in me? You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had no interest in seeing themselves. And so they said, who is your father? What? They looked at Jesus, and what had they seen? They had seen his miracles. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him heal the blind. They had heard him teach as one who had authority or power. They had seen all of these things, and they said, who's your father? And Jesus said, verse 19, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, you should have known my father also. Listen to what Jesus said. Today, in our world, there are many who still claim that Jesus is not the Messiah. But some of those still profess to believe in God, still waiting for the Messiah. But Jesus made plain, you cannot know the Father unless you know the Son. All that God does, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. You cannot know the Father unless you know the Son. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury. In the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. I don't know when you read that last verse what you think. Some people think it's just kind of filler material, but there is a deep and profound thought that we should not miss in this verse. How many times did men seek to kill Jesus? They wanted him dead for a long time. They hated him. They plotted against him. But time and time again, Jesus would walk away. And they would not stop. There's a reason. Jesus will put it this way. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. And the things that you will do to me, Jesus will say, you could do none of these if it were not by his will. When you come to the second chapter of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, Peter will address this subject when he says, the things that we see here in the crucifixion of Jesus, these were all done by the foreknowledge and the will of God. No man could have crucified Jesus on an old rugged cross unless the God of heaven had sent him into this world to die for our sins. And no man could have crucified Christ unless he had laid down his life of his own accord. So then Jesus said, I go my way and ye shall see me and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. I want to leave us with that thought this morning. Is there anything sadder that you can imagine than for a day to come when you will stand before the righteous judge of all the universe? If the judge should say, I do not know you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity into everlasting punishment, reserved for the devil and his angels. Listen to what Jesus said to these people. You cannot go where I'm going because you lack the key ingredient to being free. Faith. Except you believe that I am he, we will read next Sunday morning, you will die in your sins. But the Bible says that when Jesus had said this, many believed. Ask yourself this question and understand the depth of it. Can you truly say today, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Philip would tell the eunuch, that is a great confession. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only one that can make me free and free indeed. My faith cannot be in men. It cannot be in the doctrines of men, practices that we have practiced for years. My hope and my faith is in Jesus the Christ. And it is my plea that each one of us will turn in complete surrenderance to his will, that we might be free and free indeed, so that we stand, when we stand on that last great day and the books are open and your name is called, not one sin will appear on God's great book because he has made you free. Let's stand together and sing.